Is my heart hardened by cultural rot and compromise? Or am I a believer that is marked by tears and sorrow for what wounds God's heart? Am I ready to pray, fast, and intercede for a community in need of true revival? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, if you haven't checked us out, fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. We are so, so glad that you are here today. This is Old Testament Tuesday, and if you haven't shared, subscribed, liked, commented, or placed in that Washington Defender app into your huddle, I want to encourage you to do that. Some ask, why do we do Old Testament Tuesday? Because we want to learn from our older brother. We want to be able to glean wisdom from those who God has chosen, the Jewish people. So we are in Ezekiel chapters 9 and 10 today, and let's dive into the Word of God. Then he called me out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, "Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hands." Now verses 2 through 4. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of God of Israel had gone up from the cherub where it had been to the thresh floor of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, "Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it." So this last little part of verse here says, hey, this is what I want you to do. The man with the inkhorn, I want you to go through the city of Jerusalem. They have been given to idolatry. They have done all these things. But I want you to place a mark on their foreheads, the men who sigh and cry over the abominations that the children of Israel had done. To the others, he says, he's in my hearing, go after him through the city. So go after the man who just gave the mark, city, and kill. And do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom there is a mark. And beginning at my sanctuary, so they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone, and I fell on my face and cried out, "Ah, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in pouring out your fury on Jerusalem?" Then he said to me, "The iniquity of the house of Israel and of Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed and the city full of perversity. For they say, 'The Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see.'" Okay, so here we have Ezekiel's having a vision of Jerusalem, who has gone astray. They have walked the wrong direction. And he says, first off, I'm a God of justice. Anyone who is sad over the iniquity of Jerusalem, mark them and let them people know that they are ones who are in the right place. But those who say that the Lord has forsaken us and the Lord does not see, we're going to destroy. And it says this, "And as for me also, my eyes will neither spare nor will I pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head." Just then, the man clothed with the fine linen who had the inkhorn at his side reported back and said, "I have done as you commanded." This is a powerful set of scripture. So this man with the white linen goes around and marks everyone. And it's those who are sad over the iniquity of his people and the abominations of those who in Jerusalem. And it says, "I looked, and there was in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like a sapphire stone having the appearance of the likeness of a throne. Then he spoke to the man clothed with linen and said, 'Go in among the wheels under the cherub, fill your hands with coals of fire among the cherubim and scatter them over the city.' And he went in as I watched. Now, the cherubim were standing on the south side of the temple when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. And the cherub stretched out his hands from among the cherubim to the fire that was among the cherubim, and took some of it and put it into the hands of the man clothed with linen, who took it and went out. So what is our point for today? There are two groups of people in Ezekiel's story. Group one, they were sad over the abominations of the people of their land. Group two, they said God has forsaken us and doesn't see what we do. Those are the two groups of people. And as we go into the public square today, we have to ask ourselves, are we sad over the sin and the abominations that are in the land of Washington State, of the United States? Or are we simply saying God's forsaken us and he doesn't see us? That's our choice. Because those who are Christ followers, the things that break God's heart also breaks our heart. And we've got to be honest, living in Washington State, that we're dealing with a society, a culture, a government, a church that has abandoned its core values and its core roots of honoring God. And we deserve judgment. When we see that we are willing to trans our kids and we are willing to mutilate their bodies in order to make them feel good about themselves or somehow do these things, that should absolutely break our hearts. That is not God's way, or nor is it God's desire. When we see that addiction and homelessness, and we're okay narcanning people off the street and letting them to live in their sewer and under great addiction, that should break our hearts. When we empower them to continue in that addiction, that should break our hearts. When the pornography issue and the sex trafficking issue of the state of Washington is out of control, off this charts, it should break our hearts, because God wants to do something faithful in our midst, and we need to repent and turn back to the living God. So do we want God's judgment, or do we want to somehow walk in the things that break God's heart? Well, Ephesians 1:13 through 14 says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So just like Ezekiel's picture of the man with the ink horn going around and putting a mark on the individuals that had the heart of God, Jesus, through the blood of the Lamb, puts a mark on you through the Holy Spirit that you've been sealed with a promise. Who is the guarantee of inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of the glory? The Holy Spirit inside the heart of the believer will have a compassion, and it will break our hearts of what God wants to do with the sin of this society and this culture. Think about this for a moment. You have an opportunity, because you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit, to walk in newness of life today. And not to look at things in frustration and anger, but to truly look at things with a heart of compassion, with a heart that calls out to God. Look at the 2 Corinthians. "Now he who establishes us with you in Christ Jesus and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." You have the Holy Spirit inside of you today. My question is your heart breaking over the things that break God's heart? Are you willing to acknowledge that you need Almighty God to transform you from the inside out? That God is willing to move upon you today? Let me give you some application. Allow Jesus to mark you and seal you. Be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to seal you by responding to the gospel message that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again. This mark is not just for safety, but signifies your identity and authenticity and guarantee of future inheritance in the coming kingdom of God. Today, as you go into that workplace, stay true to the one true God amidst cultural idolatry, maintain sincere worship and faithfulness, refusing to blend God's truth with the prevailing abominations or compromises of the culture of today, and share God's grief over sin. Regularly examine your heart, asking yourself, do modern sins, injustices, and church compromise cause genuine sorrow and a desire to pray and talk to God about it? Honor God. Cry and sigh over the sin of your people. And finally, be a voice and a witness. Not all will be marked. So live publicly for righteousness by calling out evil and compassion, showing that repentance and grace look like. Cry over the sins of our nation and the sins of our church and the sins of our state. Allow God to step in, declare a fast, weep, and earnestly seek transformation from your heart, for your community, and for your congregation. Lord, we ask that you will break our hearts with the things that break your heart. God, we have gone so astray in the public square today. Would you shape us and reshape us, God? Would you mold us and remold us, God? Break our hearts, God. Lord, we are allowing people to live on the streets in their addiction. We are allowing people to cut off and mutilate their bodies. We are allowing people to walk in just horrible ways, and it's celebrated in our life and our culture. Help us to honor and glorify you in such a way that we bring attention to your name, God. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Go before us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard